So as I was praying about what to preach this morning, the Lord took me to Proverbs chapter 3. This morning I want to bring to you a message, God's pathway to favor. God's path to favor. What is favor? It is the old covenant word for grace. It is unmerited, undeserved favor. It's definitely not fair. It's altogether free. But there is a pathway you can take to position yourself for it. You don't earn favor, but you can position your life in a manner where God will pour out His favor on you and those who come after you. God wants to bless you. He's already blessed you. But there is something spiritually blocking some of you from being able to receive the blessing that God has already paid for. What is favor? It is when God decides to bless you in spite of your weaknesses. When God decides to bless you in the midst of your storm. When God looks down on you in your wretched state, and wretched means to be wounded from a battle, and He picks you up, bandages your wounds, and puts you back in the field, and gets you back ready for the fight. You see, the enemy wants to use guilt and shame and defeat to keep you still. God wants to pick you back up and promote you and use you in His kingdom. It's time for God to get the glory from your story. It's time that God get the glory for your story. Some of you have been walking in guilt so long you don't know who you are, where you're going, or what you even did. God wants to break you loose from guilt and religion this morning. And there is a pathway to God's favor. I love Dr. Monroe's definition of favor. It is, favor is when someone stronger and richer than you bows down to where you are and gives you more than you'll ever need. Favor is that time when the eternal world without end breaks into our broken world that has an end. Favor is when God decides to bless you. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Some of you Baptists can't even get that out of your mouth. You think you're automatically endorsing the prosperity gospel just because you say you're blessed. And you're not. You think Jesus died for you to be religious, or did He die to bless you and give you eternal life? Did He pave the streets of gold? You better believe He did. God wants to bless you. The Bible says, for those of us who are blessed in Romans 8, that if God be for us, who can be against us? It also says in Romans 8, who can bring a charge against us? So if you're blessed and you're walking in the favor of God, it doesn't matter what people say about you. In fact, an anointing will come on you. I call the don't care anointing. And you won't care what people think. You won't care what they say, because you're walking in God's favor and your story is bringing Him glory. So let the haters hate, let the religious do what the religious do, and you get on the pathway to God's favor. God wants to bless you. You are a candidate for God's blessing this morning. And it also goes on to say in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And who can separate us from the love of God? Not past or present, angels or demons. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So favor. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. What is God's path to favor? How does God want to position you to receive His favor? This particular proverb was written by King Solomon. He was the successor of King David. He was born from a sinful mistake that King David made. But God restored and redeemed his mistake and built a message and gave a mandate out of a mistake. King Solomon was the successor. In fact, he's probably one of my favorite writers of the Old Covenant. I love his writings in Ecclesiastes. But Solomon had been given wisdom by God, and he lived under a cloud of favor. He did things that only you and I could dream about. It describes what he did in Ecclesiastes 2, chapter 4. He says, I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards and planted all kinds of fruit. I made myself pools from which the water of the trees were nourished. I acquired male and female servants born in my house. I had greater possessions than everyone I knew, herds and flocks. I was the man in Jerusalem. I had it all. I gathered for myself silver and gold, special treasures. I acquired the best singers, the best entertainment. I had it all. Verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 2 says this, I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem, and my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. Bishop Bronner said just the other day, be careful what you become in pursuit of what you want. Be careful what you become in pursuit of what you want. I want you to notice, if we could put the scripture on the screen that I just read, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I want you to look at how many I statements. Starting with chapter 4, guys, hang with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. I made my works great. Everybody say I. I built myself houses. There again, go to verse 5. I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit in them. Next verse. I made myself, that's enough. I. Even though he had wisdom, even though he had earthly favor, what he didn't understand was God dictated who he was born under, who he succeeded, where he was, and the wisdom that he had. And if you fast forward to chapter 12, he's nearing death, and he realized for all the things that he had and all the things that he built, he missed something. He missed something. And so when he speaks to us through Proverbs chapter 3, we must look intensely upon his words when he says, my son, Proverbs chapter 3, do not forget my law, my principles, the word of God, the kingdom, revelation you've received. Let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find, there's that word again, favor. Everybody say favor. And high esteem in the sight of God and of man. So the formula in both the New Covenant and the Old Covenant is Proverbs chapter 3. If you want to see a parallel text, go to Matthew chapter 5 and read the Beatitudes spoken by Jesus, and they line up. They are a parallel text. The Old Covenant model for favor, the New Covenant model for favor. So how do we receive this favor, this unmerited, undeserved favor? Well, it's unearned, so you can't earn it, but you can position yourself for it. You can get on the pathway to receive it. How do you do it? Number one, prepare your heart for it. Prepare your heart for it. My son, do not forget my law. This is a verse of remembrance. Remember where you came from. Remember how you felt when you got delivered out of sin. Remember the tears that flowed down your face when God saved you. Remember the people that helped you when nobody else would. Remember the people that loved you when you were unlovable. Remember where you came from. When it says do not forget, it's a deep Hebrew text there, and it means to remember the deep things. Remember the past. Remember what got you to where you are. Don't ever forget the people that helped you. Don't ever forget the God that saved you. Don't ever forget the family that covered you, the church that blessed you. Remember, remember. John chapter 1, verse 17 says, the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It also said through the letters of Paul that Jesus demolished the law. He abolished and demolished it and created a new covenant. But many of us raised in religion want the old covenant. We want laws, and we beat our chest about holiness. But you don't understand that holiness is a byproduct of grace and favor. Holiness is not something you earn. It's something that you do because of the grace that's been given to you. Let me tell you, you can sit there and meditate all day trying to be holy, and because of your flesh, it's never going to work. But if the Holy Ghost puts his super on your natural, things begin to clean up in your life. God begins to cleanse the dirty places in your life. Remember, prepare your heart for it. How? By remembering where you came from. Remember his principles. Solomon would go on to say in Ecclesiastes 12, remember now your creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I found no pleasure in them. Then he describes dying. Remember, Solomon was saying, listen, God gave me wisdom. I had it all, but I forgot some things. I forgot some things. Remember God's principles. Those of you who were able to be a part of this kingdom conference, understand what was released into your life. It wasn't head knowledge. It was heart knowledge. Understand who you are, that you are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, that you're more than a conqueror, that God's called you to more than you could ever imagine. Remember his principles. Receive mercy and truth. Receive his power. Remember his principles, but receive his power. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It said, bind mercy and truth around your neck. Some of us have mercy, but we don't have truth. Some of us, man, we're advocates for truth, but we have no mercy. God wants you to bind both of those things around your neck, which means keep them close to your heart. Keep them close to your heart. Mercy and truth. One without the other doesn't work in God's kingdom. You need both. Reconnect to his presence. Remember his principles. Absolutely. Receive his power. Reconnect to his presence. We learned that this earth is a colony, that Jesus is a king, that the church is his embassy, and we are his ambassadors. And that we need to stop praying for causes and start praying for kingdom. Start praying for connection. Because when you're in spiritual unity with God's kingdom, things begin to happen that man can't explain. So when you pray this week, don't pray for a specific need. Pray for connection. If you're sick, pray for God to connect his kingdom to your body. If you're broke, pray for God to connect his kingdom to your finances. If you need restoration, pray for God's kingdom to connect itself to your relationships. We pray for connection, not causes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Proverbs 3 is an old covenant way to prophetically sound the alarm for new covenant revelation found in Matthew 5 from Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who've been persecuted. Blessed are those who are insulted. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Jesus said it. He fulfilled what was prophetically released by a king in Proverbs chapter 3. We must prepare our hearts to receive favor. Some of you have lived your whole life apologizing for what God gave you. Stop apologizing for what God gave you and give God glory for what you have and use it to help others and advance his kingdom. That's the favor of God. Favor of God has nothing to do with you. It's God's blessing on your life. I had people tell me growing up, mentors of mine, the biggest mistake I always made was I would want more for people than they would want for themselves. That's why I'm probably an effective pastor in this, and I don't mean because this is a big church. I mean because I legitimately care about all people. That's what my biggest strength is I love people. Bad people, good people, all people. But it got me in messes growing up, and I would have parents of friends of mine tell me, Ronnie, you cannot want this more than they do. You cannot want them to be blessed more than they do. You can't want the job for them more than they do. You can't want the new life for them more than they do. You can't want them drug-free more than they do. And you're frustrated because you keep trying to do something in someone's life that they have refused. And God's got a pathway of favor for you. But you're wasting your time trying to bring people on the path that have already seen the path and said no to it. When there are people who need you to help them get on God's path to favor. God will show you who those people are. Prepare your heart for favor. Make sure your heart is right. Make sure you're a good recipient of it, that you'll be a good steward of it. How do you know if you're a good steward of God's favor? You won't make I statements. I built this business. I did this for my kids. I. No, then you're not a good steward of God's favor. Because if you're a good steward of God's favor, it's he did it. Beware of preachers on television or behind pulpits that constantly make I statements. Nothing wrong with making I statements because God gives you the ability to make I statements and he gives you the grace for those things. But I'm talking about people who overdo it. Overdo it. Watch out. There's something off with people who overdo that. Prepare your heart for favor. Take action to release favor. Somebody say, take action. One of the greatest things that Pastor Ron Carpenter told me when he was here, because I always spend a few hours with him. In fact, I want y'all to have the kingdom revelation and the kingdom anointing that he walks in, but I'll be frank with you, I have him here because I want it. And 2 hours in that kind of environment is worth whatever we have to pay for me, because I believe in honor. I don't believe you just flippantly walk past someone that's worthy of honor. And it's changed my life. So when I get a couple hours with him, I ask questions and I listen and I don't talk a lot. And he said something profound to me over lunch and I haven't been able to let it go. When I was asking him about the state of our church and where God's called us to go, and he'd asked me to dream a little bit in front of him about some of my dreams. He said, Pastor Ronnie, you must build a vehicle to get to where you want to go. So I want to say that to you as your pastor today. Two things. We must build a vehicle to get to where we want to go. But you as an individual must build a vehicle to get to where you want to go. He said if you want to go to an island, you need a boat. You want to go to Israel, you need a jet. You want to go to Atlanta, you need a car. You must build a vehicle that will get you to where you want to go. I have asked God supernaturally to put a building spirit, a contractor spirit, on the staff. This is not a criticism. I've asked him to put it on me. A building spirit, not a maintaining spirit. God has called you to build something. And perhaps the kingdom is waiting on you to build it so God can bless it. Because when you build it and he blesses it, guess who's going to bless the church? Somebody raise their hand and say, I will. A few of you will. The rest of you ain't kingdom. When God blesses it, you will be a blessing, because the Bible says that's why he blesses you, so that you can be a blessing. He doesn't bless you to hoard it up and brag on yourself. He blesses you so that you can be a blessing. You must build a vehicle to get to where you want to go. So you prepare your heart for it, then you must take action. Proverbs 3 talks about what we must do to take action. Let's read God's word. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Wine always represents joy and grace. So what must you do to take action? Well, the first thing is that generosity releases favor. Again, I didn't say it earns. It releases favor. Generosity releases favor. We know what a tithe is. It's 10%. We've taught you first fruits. We'll be teaching you again on a Wednesday night. Dr. Collins will do it. He'll take Hebrew roots and show you how it's biblical. Generosity releases favor. I had someone that's very wealthy that's related to me. The day after the conference ended, messaged me, I was exhausted, and said a lot of things, and I don't want to get into all of it, but here was the principle. He said, "How come you and your dad have never asked us for money?" I said, "Because everybody asks y'all for money, and if God tells y'all to help me, you will." He said, "We have a rule that we don't help people that don't ask." And that led to a conversation. I don't know where that conversation's going to go, but I'm optimistic. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And a poverty mentality and a religious mindset will tell you, if I ask, they're not going to like me. But if your kingdom motives are pure, why wouldn't you ask? I'm not talking about just church stuff, friends. I'm talking about the promotion you need, the loan you need to start your business, the favor you need for your child or grandchild to get into the school they want to go to. We have not because we ask not. Generosity releases favor. When we sow, it releases favor. What else releases favor? It's been pretty good up to this point, right? Everybody like me still? We still friends? Generosity releases favor. Submission releases favor. Verse 11 and 12 of our text. My son, Solomon, speaking to his son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. My dad told me a long time ago, son, you find out when you're someone's pastor the moment you correct them. The moment you correct them. And I tell you what, 12 years into this mess, I've seen it time and time again. God wants to bless people and use them to build, but the enemy creates a wandering spirit in people. And I've seen it time and time again. Because I've tried to bless people and give them an opportunity to build something, but they can't submit. And therefore, they end up jumping like a coward and running from their assignment to the next thing. And they look up and they're 50 or 60 and they've never really done anything because they never trusted God long enough to use them in the place where He put them. I don't commit easy. When you're raised in ministry, you view it from the inside out. I will never know what it's like to sit in your seat. I have no idea what it's like to be a church member. I can't. I can't understand your perspective, but I'll try to, because all I've ever known is church from the inside looking out, and many of you, all you've ever seen it was from the outside looking in. So if we don't communicate, we can't do what God's called us to do. But because I have an insider's perspective, all I've ever seen is things from the inside out. And from that perspective, you really get to see the character in people. Submission is a biblical principle. It doesn't matter whether or not you like your coach. If you submit to your coach, God will honor that submission. It doesn't matter whether or not you like your boss. God will honor your submission. Doesn't matter or not whether you even like your pastor. If God has called you there and you submit to the vision and to the man or woman that God has placed over you, if you will stay faithful, God will promote you, because promotion comes from on high, which means if you're faithful over a few things, then God can override man and promote you. I have talked to people who have ended up with the jobs of the people who held them back because they stayed faithful in a season. If you'll just stay faithful and you'll learn the art of submission, it is not a weak word. When the Bible tells wives to submit to their husbands, it's not a weak word. It's the same word used when it said that Jesus submitted to the will of the Father when he went to the cross to die for our sins. So by submitting, you're just doing what Jesus did. And the husband is to love the wife like Jesus loves the church. Well, he died and bled for it. So if the husband's loving right and the wife's submitting right, you have a kingdom connection and covenant that will create a great harvest. Those principles work in every situation. Submission releases favor. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. If I don't discipline my boys and I don't correct them and I don't steer them, I don't love them. If I don't say, you could have done that better, I wouldn't have said that, or get up, quit feeling sorry for yourself, then I don't love my boys, and I love my boys. This coddling that we see in today's culture in parenting makes me want to puke. Even the way they're changing football, you can't hit nobody anymore. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. Let me tell you, in my house, it's 1985 all the time. You hit my kid, they hit back. We defend ourselves. We stand up. We make mistakes, we admit it. We let our work do what it's supposed to do. When we make mistakes, we own them. I believe in that. But I'm telling you, you have to learn to teach your children to submit. That's why we're in division in this country. If you get pulled over by a police officer, I don't care whether you like the police officer or not, it would be in your best interest to do what the officer tells you to do. How many of y'all saw that video of that old woman? She wouldn't get out of the car. She thought she was above the policeman. He collared her and threw her down like he would me. People have gone nuts. Submission. Tell you the best thing you can do for your children, if they're treated unfairly, don't fix it. Don't fix it. I know you want to, and my goodness, I want to too. It's a struggle. Only way you'll be able to not get involved is through the Holy Ghost. But if your children are treated unfairly, don't fix it. Because it's building character. Because guess what? When they get out in the workplace, they get out in the kingdom of this world, people aren't going to treat them fairly if they love Jesus. And you build character during those seasons instead of sheltering them from what they'll face in the real world. Hebrews 12 says the same thing. And have you forgotten exhortation, which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening, the discipline, the correction of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. It's a principle. You know the story of Ruth and Naomi. Husband dies, she stays loyal to her mother-in-law. She submitted to her mother-in-law. She submitted to the field. She submitted to the assignment. She submitted to Boaz. And what does the text say in Ruth? That God found favor with her. Generosity releases favor, but submission releases favor. Stay positioned and God will bless you. I don't have permission to tell you what happened to my father on Tuesday night. It's someone else's job to tell it in due season. But I saw my dad on Tuesday sit there and be quiet and not say a word. And I saw someone bless him in the name of honor far beyond what all of our work did the 5 days leading up to that conference. Why? Because 5 seconds in God's favor. will bless you more than a year or 2 years worth of labor. 5 seconds in God's favor will bless you more than all of your labor. So that's why we connect to God's kingdom. That's why we pray for connection, so that His favor can be poured out. Let me ask you some questions. Can anybody correct you? Are you coachable? Are you passive aggressive? This means you receive the correction and the coaching, but you do this. And for 2 weeks when you see someone, how you doing? Fine. I'm okay. God can't bless that attitude. Submission builds character. It trains you up. It disciplines you. It releases prosperity in your life, and it makes us holy. I talked about Joseph last Sunday night. Sold, hated because of favor. Wore the coat of many colors, and his brothers hated him because the father had favor on him. And they sold him into slavery, and he went into prison and Potiphar's house and the pits where it started and all of this stuff. But it couldn't stop God's favor. The text said there that everywhere Joseph went, he found favor. From the pit and the prison to the palace, he found favor. How many of you can say that, man? I don't know about you, but I'm starting to feel that a little bit in my life. When I start to remember, somebody would say, hey, amen. Remember where you came from. I'm starting to say, man, God, your favor was on me there. Man, I thought I was in trouble there, God, but I see your favor on me there. God, you provided for me there. I thought you were cursing me, but now I look back 25 years ago and say, God, you were right there. In the midst of my sin and my struggle, there you were connecting things for me. Wrap your theological mind around that. The kingdom is bigger. What else releases favor? Wisdom, which Solomon knew all about, releases favor. Solomon understood what wisdom in this life could accomplish. That's why that's the one thing he asked God for. That's the one thing we sometimes lack. When God gives you favor, He also gives you wisdom. You have to know how to do what God's called you to do. That's why the false prosperity gospel is so wrong. Because the reality is, you can sow a seed into the right ground, but if you don't know how to make your dream come to pass, you're still going to be broke after you sow the seed. Sowing the seed is a biblical principle. But also, you better have some conversations with people who have done it and who know how to do what you're trying to do. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Not always spiritual, but it should be. Find out how to do what you want to do. Find out how to do what you want to do. The text says in verse 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Now listen to this. Solomon relates wisdom to the woman here. Isn't that funny? Husbands, listens to your wives. Listen to this. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Here we go. Wisdom. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her grain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. So he's saying, look, you better have a good woman in your life. Women represents wisdom here. Feminine. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with wisdom, with her. Length of days in her right hand, in wisdom's right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways, the ways of wisdom, are pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. Prepare your heart for it. Take dominion over it. And enjoy the benefits of it. The benefits of it. The church is the bride. Wisdom is God's kingdom revelation that keeps us positioned for God's favor. Wisdom, the Bible says, is given to those whom God loves and those that He trusts. Can God trust you with his blessing? Can God trust you with an overflow? If he can trust you, prepare to receive it. Take action to release it and enjoy the benefits of it. Somebody say joy.
Joy.
This is what our text said from verse 1 to 19, Proverbs 3. What are the benefits of favor? The first one it says is long life. It says, for the length of days and long life will be added to you. The next will be peace, shalom. How many of you need peace of mind this morning? Can't sleep, can't eat, nervous all the time, anxiety. One of the benefits of favor is peace, in long life, peace. Three is promotion. It says you will be in front of people and you'll find favor and high esteem with God and man. Let me tell you, God will use organizations, corporations, and people to bless you. How many of you can even come close to receiving that? Can you receive it this morning?
Amen.
You better believe it if you're going to have it. God will bless you, and he will put you in the presence of great men and women that can change your destiny. But if your heart's not prepared for it and you haven't taken appropriate action, you will miss God's best for your life. If your heart's not prepared for it and you haven't taken the appropriate action, you will miss God's best for your life. And if you're alive today, the good news is you can remember now your Creator. You're not dead yet. You still have breath in your lungs. You can still receive God's best for your life. Promotion, clear direction, clear direction. You want to know what your next move is? Favor will tell you. Health and strength, favor will heal you. More than enough, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflowing with new wine. More than enough. God blesses you more than enough. I just need a little cabin in the woods. Well, that's good. God will give you a cabin that's too big for you with more than enough in it. Because that's the way God works. Jesus didn't die for you just to get by. Jesus died so you'd have dominion. He bought our dominion back. Happiness is the man who finds wisdom. You know, we never talk about happiness in church. We always talk about joy. Joy has nothing to do with being happy. But favored people are happy people. Some of you need to turn your frown upside down and get happy about what God's given you and what he's blessed you with. Bow your head and close your eyes this morning. The pathway to God's favor. Are you in on it? Do you want in on it? If you want in on it, you have to embrace the kingdom, which starts with a relationship with the king. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again if you're going to inherit this kingdom. So if you need to be born again this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ. If you died today, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. You may be on your way to hell, but you don't want to be. First, we got to get you in the presence of a king. His name is Jesus. And the way we do that is by you confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to lead you in a prayer that will help you do that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you need Jesus in your life, just pray this with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. Now, in just a minute, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you ought to run down here and start this process in your life. You ought to get on the pathway. You may already want to run down here. Go ahead, you won't bother me. This message wasn't really about that. But I can't think of a greater day to make that public. This message was about the favor of God, the pathway. It was about getting your heart right, taking action, and enjoying the benefits of it. So how do we do that? Well, we got to receive transformation from on high. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to give you power to renew your mind again. You need a touch from God. I can release the revelation, but you have to receive it. And once you receive it, God will move. So we have pastors down front here who are going to pray with you. Then we're going to make some declarations together in unison. But before we do, I wonder if anybody today, saved or unsaved, doesn't matter, would say, I need God's favor on my life. I need a touch from God. I remember where I came from, but I need to receive His power, and I need to be connected with His kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That will happen. So I want you to stand on your feet all over this building. Before we make declarations together, if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, touched by God, saved, to join this church, to be connected with the kingdom church, you come, and don't miss your moment. Let's make some declarations together, can we? God just gave me this before the service, so there's no PowerPoint, so you're going to have to use your ears and listen to me and repeat after me, all right? Can we do that? Our text says in the nucleus of it, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge you. That's what we're going to do. I want you to repeat after me. I am right where I need to be. I am blessed. I am gifted. I am anointed. I am a winner. I am an overcomer. I am positioned for God's favor. And most importantly, thank you, Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Give God a shout of praise for the favor that's here, that's coming. Hallelujah, hallelujah.